Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for meditation is the Gospel today as we continue working through the Gospel of Matthew this year. This week in chapter 14, the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I share with you one specific verse where it said, Jesus said to his disciples, "They, the crowd, do not have need to leave. You yourselves give them something to eat." In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends. This morning we think about the theme, Jesus Satisfies, where we could expect no satisfaction. So you're driving over to a coworker's house. That coworker has been trying to line up dinner for you and several other coworkers. But fortunately, all year long, every time that he has made the invitation, you've had something else to do. Oh, you're sleeping. You didn't get that. He invited, but fortunately, you had something better to do. And the reason why you and the other coworkers did not want to go over to his house for dinner was that every time you have one of those office pitch-ins for somebody's birthday or something, the food that he brings is just absolutely awful. And so why would you want to go there? So every other time he's made the invitation, one or the other of you have had an excuse and you've been saved. But this time, when he started going around making the invitation, none of you said, "No, I have something else to do." And it was unanimous. You all were free. So now you're all having to go over to his house for dinner. You're all doomed. You've been talking about it for the last couple of days before going, "Oh, this is going to be awful. But maybe if we just go once, maybe we can get it over with. Maybe this will be the end. Maybe he'll be so embarrassed by what he does that we just won't have to do this again. Let's just get it over with." So you're driving over to his house. The whole way you're dreading. And you're walking up to the front porch, and there's a couple of steps, and your foot is about ready to hit that bottom step, and you think, "I could turn and run right now." But out of obligation, you walk up the stair and you knock on the door. And he opens the door and welcomes you inside his home. And your nose is greeted with amazing aromas of food. Amazing aromas that you've never smelled before. Because it's not him in the kitchen cooking, it's his sister. And his sister is just finishing culinary school. And she's an amazing chef. And she's been cooking all day long. And all night long, you're going to have one dish after another of amazing food that his sister has prepared for you so that you can be astounded by what food can be. Tonight is going to be one delight after another. And when that dawns on you all, you feel ashamed because you know that you are going to be satisfied beyond imagination on a night when you expected nothing. Such is the scene of the feeding of the 5,000. Now let's just visit it real quickly to get it out of the way. It's 5,000 men plus the women and children. Maybe it's 10,000 people. Maybe it's 15,000 people. We don't know. It's a huge crowd, especially when you start thinking about food. If you don't think that's a big deal, just ask any of the old-time church ladies around here who were involved in cooking those big dinners for churches. That's a lot of food, even for a few hundred people, let alone 10,000 people. But this was a typical Jesus kind of day. It started with the news that Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. And so Jesus announces that his anticipation for this day was to go off to a solitary, remote place and just kind of chill out a little bit for the day. We can understand. Needed some room for grief. Needed some room to sort of absorb the pain of what that meant, that John the Baptist had had his head cut off because of his work for the kingdom of God. So Jesus and the disciples head in a boat across the Sea of Galilee to find that remote place, that desert place. But by the time they got there, the people had figured out where they were going and had all run there on foot. So that when they get off the boat, there's already a crowd there. But Jesus, in his typical way, does not meet that crowd with exasperation and frustration and self-pity, saying, "I don't want to take care of these people today." Instead, Jesus meets them with the word Matthew uses is compassion. That word compassion means to have a gut feeling. It's not superficial. It's down to the very visceral depths of who you are as a being. He had compassion for them. The people were aching for a blessing from Jesus, so much so that the crowds, think about this, I had not really thought about it in depth before, but I had a chance this week. The crowds were actually dragging their sick people out to that desert place. Can you imagine grabbing a sick family member? You know, somebody who's just coughing up a lung or, you know, has gastric problems, whatever, and say, "Come on! We're going to go for a 12-mile hike out into the desert so we can see Jesus." They're dragging their sick people out into the wilderness where Jesus was so that Jesus could heal them. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. As we read through the other Gospels, we also find that on this day, not only was Jesus blessing them with the grace of healing, but he was blessing them with the grace of his holy word. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God. He's doing amazing things for them that day. But here comes the little sharp point of this story. The day was running out of day. And there wasn't enough time to fully display all of the grace of God to that crowd. Isn't that kind of how life is? There's never really enough opportunity for us to be able to show other people the full depth of God's grace. So Jesus on this day has been completely consumed by wanting to show all of those people the grace of the kingdom of God. But the disciples clearly weren't focused on people. The disciples were focused on a setting sun. And the disciples were focused on this group of thousands of people who were hungry. And sizing up the situation that lay before them, the best description of trying to make sense out of it in their minds, according to the rational thinking of, you know, after all, God has given us common sense, and common sense is the ultimate rule of life. It's supposed to govern and judge everything about life. All they could say to Jesus was, it's almost as if they're trying to grab control of the situation, take it back from Jesus and say, "You're crazy." All they could say was, "This place is desert. And the hour has already come." Dismiss the crowds in order that after going into the towns, they might buy food for themselves. We get it, don't we? If you really think about those disciples and think about the challenge that they faced, we can understand why they might have said that. We size up life and come to the conclusion that the best scenario that we can hope for, based on our reasonable expectations of how life works, the reasonable expectations of what we think we can accomplish with our own efforts and with our own gifts, means that sometimes we face things that are beyond us, and when we see that things are beyond us, we react. You know, the disciples looked at their resources and probably felt as if they were almost non-existent. After all, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What kind of resource is that for feeding 10,000 people? It's almost non-existent resource. Maybe 5 loaves and 2 fish would be enough for a family to each get a little snack to tide them over until dinner. So the disciples were in panic mode. Why? Because they're looking at themselves, they're looking at what they can do, they're looking at their resources, and they say, they don't measure up to the situation. So what do we do when we see that we don't think that we measure up to the challenge in front of us? And they did everything they could to try to run away from the disaster that was in front of them. They wanted to dismiss it. This is a pending disaster. Let's get separated from it. You know, after all, now it's time for all the people who like to spin things with their little marketing strategies. Boy, oh boy, we can't have Jesus associated with this disaster out in the wilderness. Because after all, think about it. Will these resources really do anything for the people here? And even if we send these people out and into the towns and say, go find something for yourselves, chances are even that's not going to take care of much. We look to shed responsibility for others so often in our lives. We just continually are in this process of saying, you ask me too much. God asks me too much. I just got to get... Oops. Just broke my microphone. We just don't want to be responsible for these responsibilities. And the reason that we say that is that our eyes are curved in on ourselves. That's what sin is, after all, being curved in on oneself. Our eyes are curved in on ourselves, and we remain blind to the grace of God that is able to supply every need that we have, and to supply all the needs of the world through us. That's God's design. To supply the grace needed for the world through us. Just think of the conventional wisdom of the disciples had won out over Jesus. What if they just overrun him and say, it's 12 of us and only one of you, Jesus, so it's going to be our way today. The Heavenly Father's work to give an awesome display through that sign of the feeding of the 5,000, that awesome sign of the fact that this truly was the Son of God and this was the Messiah that they had been waiting for, that whole sign would have been obliterated, and God's purpose for this whole day, it really wasn't about people getting healed out in the desert, and it really wasn't just about people listening to a long sermon. The ultimate purpose of this day was so that they would see Jesus. If the disciples had won, nobody would have really gotten to see who Jesus was. But if the disciples had won, then this disaster, this pending disaster that they could imagine, would have been off their conscience. Those 12 disciples and Jesus, those 13 men, maybe they could have shared that the 5 loaves and the 2 fish themselves and at least been okay for the day. Those people being sent out to all the little towns according to the disciples' plan, chances are those little towns didn't have enough food to feed all of those 5,000 men plus women and children. They didn't have Marsh and Kroger and Walmart and Meijer and all the other stores all open 24 hours a day to supply all that food. You go into those little towns and you're probably not going to find it. And even if people have food there, they're probably not going to share it. And so what would have happened? Oh, I could imagine people fighting over bread. Poof, I'll take that. We can imagine that, can't we? Because people get desperate and they start doing horrible things, and the disciples are anticipating what this is going to look like. And let's get away from it so that messiness of that situation doesn't come to haunt us in our lives, because we got to keep ourselves clean from all of that. Imagine people trying to walk miles back. You know, they maybe walked 12 miles out to go see Jesus in the desert. Been there all day, haven't really drunk anything, haven't eaten anything all day, and now they got to walk 12 miles back. Can you walk 25 miles in a day without eating anything? It's amazing to me. I see people, if it's been 2 hours since they ate last night, oh, I'm faint. I can't go on. Well, take a 12-mile hike when you feel that way. I could see bodies strewn all over the pathway back to the towns where they came from. That's what would have happened if the disciples' plan had been carried out. In a situation where the disciples expected nothing, they didn't expect Jesus to do anything. They were just trying to run from it. Jesus did more than just help the people to survive this day. Jesus helped them to thrive. So he has the people sit down, and he takes the bread, and he lifts it up to heaven, and he breaks it, and he blesses that bread in front of the people. And then he gives it to the disciples so that they can distribute it to the crowds. And then comes the most amazing verse of this whole gospel reading today, verse 20. Look at the first words of that verse. Matthew says, they all ate and were satisfied. On a day when the disciples didn't expect anything, in God's hands, at the end of the day, all were satisfied. What started off as a day to be consumed by frustration and grief because of that dark shroud of John the Baptist's death hanging over them turned into a day for the people to be stunned all over again. Stunned all over again, not just because their bellies were full, but because they had spent the day with the Son of God. They had spent the day learning about God's grace in all of its forms. And that grace of God and God's kingdom was not going to be based upon how obedient or how strong they could be. Because remember, we know where human strength gets it. That's the kind of plan where you send 5,000 people out who are hungry to go try to take care of themselves. That's what we accomplish. But in God's hands, in grace hands, we will meet all of those needs through the gifts of God. Those people got to see the grace of God and the love of God in action. They got to see that the grace of God in Jesus Christ is far more than just bread. That the grace of God includes forgiveness of sins earned for us on the cross. That the grace of God includes a tomb that was vacated because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that once and for all destroyed death. God's grace would include the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our lives that gives us strength and gifts to accomplish whatever task it is that is at hand for us to do. The grace of God would also include physical blessings, but not just so that we get what we want, but physical blessings that perfectly prepare us and fit us for whatever job it is that God wants us to do in this world. So that we can put Jesus on display for the world, not as some kind of a media stunt, but we put Jesus on display in the world by genuinely caring for other people with the amazing, mind-boggling, way beyond imagination kind of way that God always chooses to work. And God chooses to do all of that through us. You know, Jesus could have gotten fed up with his disciples. I would have. If I were Jesus, I'd get fed up with me. I know you have, so why wouldn't Jesus? Jesus might have been willing to say to his disciples, you guys just can't see who I am, can you? You just want to take the fun out of everything and make every situation to be dark and awful, don't you? Get out of here! And Jesus could have taken the bread and he could have broken it and blessed it and then just levitated it all. Wouldn't that have been cool? Floating bread and fish kind of floating all over this crowd. It just kind of lands in people's hands. I don't know. That sounds like a neat special effects movie that would be really neat to see. He could have done it that way, but he didn't. He chose to deliver the blessing of that grace through the hands of his disciples. God chooses to deliver his grace to the world through us. Because then that lets us in on the highest privilege of all, and that is sharing salvation to the world through Jesus Christ. With grace in hand, literally. Think about that. Disciples are carrying bread and fish around that has come right from the hand of Jesus, and through his grace is multiplying to feed all those people with grace in hand, literally. We can stop looking at all of the hurts and the heartaches and the sick and the dying, and the needy and the wanting, and the broken and the bleeding as problems that we need to figure out how to deal with. And in the confidence of a Savior who completed His work on the cross and through His resurrection, we can look at all of those challenges and see that every single one of them is an opportunity for God's grace to be seen in this world through us. He will work through us to point the world to His grace, pointing to salvation, pointing to the fact that there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And you know what? We get to do that amongst crowds of people who wear us out in desert-like places. But time and time again, we get to see grace in action, which is far greater and grander than any crowd's needs or any desert place. It's greater and grander than any of the darkness that we can concoct in our minds that says, God can't do this. For we need look no further than Jesus, who can bring full satisfaction even into places where we expected to see none. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.